Turning to the Old Testament again, to Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Deuteronomy and chapter 30. So we turn in our Bibles, have that page open, or it's be on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, that's page 172 of the church Bibles. We've got sheets as well. To help us to follow the message she should have picked up when you came in to the service this morning. So those help us as regards to our three main points. There are going to be three key words, everybody. Children, you can look out yourselves for three key words for us to be focusing on this morning as we're coming to the word of the Lord. So the issues have been presented to you. The pros and cons of the matter. The pluses and minuses. And now, you have to decide, am I going to emigrate to America? You've been offered a job. You've been given a home there. Now's the time for decision. You've got to decide. Decision day has come. Possibly it's unlikely that any of us have been in that specific circumstance, but all of us, even probably from the very youngest, have had something of a similar experience to that, whether it be even being presented with some sweets to eat, or whether it be some of the bigger issues of life, such as whether to take on a job, whether to move house, whether to get married. A time comes to make decision. And tomorrow is not the day we're thinking about today. We are thinking about today being the day for decision. For you and for me. To pick up the phrase that Zach used for us this morning, we are in the gap. Today, we are here and we are called to make decisions. Decisions that affect issues that are far beyond the matters relating to jobs and houses and health and money, important as though they would be in their situation. We're going bigger. We're dealing with the issues of God and our relationship with God. So look at verse 19. Look at verse 19. Moses, speaking to those Israelites those years ago, is bringing it firmly to them. And verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. I want to hear that today in Feltham Evangelical Church. We want to know that today in Feltham Evangelical Church, that there are big decisions to be made as regards to whether we're going to go in a course of life or a course of death. How have you felt going through these passages in Deuteronomy over the last 4 or 5 weeks? It's been hard. Almost feel like saying, hands up if you found it hard. I found it hard. I found it hard to preach. Preaching that sermon on Deuteronomy 28 was hard. And I feel we found it hard to listen to as well. But Moses is just sold out in these passages from chapter 27 to 30. To bring the people in front of him to face up to the realities of life. And they fundamentally focus upon this. That if you obey God, you will have what? You'll be blessed. and you disobey, you will have what? Curse. Relentlessly. And I think that's something of the hardness of these things. Relentlessly, Moses has been coming and saying, you've got to get this. There's big issues at stake. Let's just get a flow of where we've been in Deuteronomy, because we're coming to the end of a section this morning. And the end of Moses determining to challenge the people. The flow of Deuteronomy, right at the beginning, the first five verses, at an introduction, then from verse 6 of chapter 1 to verse 43 of chapter 4, he's telling them how they got to their present position. So there they are, about 3,400 years ago, on the verge of crossing the Jordan to go into this special land. They're there. And Moses is speaking to them, and he's saying to them, this is how you got here. Then from verse 44 of chapter 4 to the end of chapter 26, he's saying, this is how you should live in that land. This is the future. So he's had the past and the future, and now in chapter 27 to 30, he's saying, today, this is what you need to do. So he's in the present. And then from chapter 31 to 34, Moses is basically saying, I'm leaving you. And he's passing everything on to Joshua. So we're at the end of this section where Moses is saying to the people, this is what you need to do. God is saying to us, fellow evangelical church, preacher and hearers alike this morning, that we got to get ourselves right before God so that we might go on and live. We, in a sense, stand exactly where that nation of Israel stood at that time. Life is ahead. How are you going to live it? Where are you going to go? What are you going to decide today? Today, what is the decision going to be? Are we going to go in God's way? Are we going to do what God wants? You don't have to be 16 and over for this. This is for everybody, you children as well. You've got to be thinking about this. So will we go in the way God wants, Beltham Evangelical Church? Question for us. What about your family? Will you set your family in a way of life or in a way of death? Individually, think about yourself. Where are you going to head when we leave this building in an hour or two's time? And you say, and I wonder whether the nation of Israel was starting to feel it. Give us a break, Moses. Just give us a break, will you? You've been going at this for four chapters. We just had enough. And Moses says to them, I've just got to make it clear to you. You can't miss the message. And so although I think we found it hard, we just have to realize that Moses is just sold out for bringing forward the importance of this situation as they face the future. How are they going to live? Are they going to choose life or choose death? Are they going to go God's way? Are they going to go their own way? Are they going to go for Jesus Christ, who we've celebrated this morning? Or are they going for the world? And that is us this morning. Actually, verses 1 to 10. And these verses are about change. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart, with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, From there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you, and the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers repossessed, that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God and with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes, on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your cattle and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you as he took delight in your fathers. When you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in the book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. This is about change. This is about how they're going to face up to their situation. Yesterday I put some diesel in my car. And the good thing is our car takes diesel. And therefore the car is very happy. And it's a blessed situation because the car has kept moving. What would happen if I put petrol in? And I think many of us have done it. You put petrol in a diesel car or diesel in a petrol car, what happens? What's the outcome? If I put petrol in a diesel car, it ends up bad. Experience teaches us that. Petrol in a diesel car is bad. Diesel in a diesel car is good. Blessing. Good and bad. Well, the nation of Israel are a little bit in this situation. They're observing things from experience as they're found in a place where they shouldn't be. So read it in verse 1. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, you shall call to mind all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. Okay, so basically, they're out away from home. You know, when they're in the promised land, they get up every day and say, we're blessed. When they're taken away from the promised land, as Zach told us about in 2 Kings chapter 17 and 2 Kings chapter 25, they get up in Assyria or they get up in Babylon and they say, we're cursed. This is not where we should be. Okay? So basically, what's happened here is that it's looking forward to a future day when the people of Israel will realize, we've had blessings when we were obeying the Lord, and now we're in this place. We're not blessed at all. They've had experience. They've seen things. And so, what is their call? The call to do? It is to return to the Lord. The Lord your God. And this is the word. What's the word? Key word in this section about change, the key word is repentance. Repentance. It's about turning round. Similar situation which the prodigal son, many of us will be aware of in Luke chapter 15. When he was down with the pigs, having thought he'd gone for a better life, he ended up with the pigs. And what does it say? It says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. And it's like that for the nation of Israel here. They're waking up and say, we've turned away from God. We've known blessing when we obeyed God, and now we're in a mess because we turned away from God. Is that you this morning? Always going to end up in a mess when we turn away from God. So he says that what they are to do when they realize it's return to the Lord. Okay? Doesn't say, well, just try and live a bit better. He says, return to the Lord. Turn round.
on entrances to motorways in Australia, I believe, whether it's still the case, it used to be, that there are signs which say, wrong way, turn back. Apparently the road system in Australia made it quite easy to go the wrong way on a motorway. And there would be these signs, wrong way, turn back. And that's what essentially repentance is. Wrong way, turn back. But not turn back just anywhere, it's turn back to the Lord. Because you're realising, I want God. Is that in our hearts today? Felton Evangelical Church, do we just want nice church? Or do we want God? The loving, eternally majestic, righteous Lord who is their God. Return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice. Okay? You want others to come as well. You want the nearest and dearest. You want everybody coming back. You obey his voice. You've got to be hearing. You know, we are a people, we're a church, and we are unashamedly a church for the Bible, you see. And one of the themes throughout this final chapter here of Moses' exhortation is you've got to get back to hearing from God. Hearing from the word of God. Verse 4, we'll say, in verse 3, you've got to hear from the word of God. Sorry, going back to verse 2, hear from the word of God and obeying his word. Yeah, with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And then verse 3, then there will no blessing again. They will say, yes, we've gone in the way of the Lord. And now we're in God's flow and we see God flowing into our lives. And Moses is encouraging them to think about this whole situation as regards to their course of life. Verse 4. If you're outcast or at the uttermost parts of heaven, you know, the Lord will seek you. The Lord will seek them. Isn't that encouraging? You might see somebody. You might even feel it yourself. I'm too far gone. You might know people who are saying it. I'm too far gone. Take them to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 4 and saying, nobody is too far gone. Okay? I don't think anybody's got to the uttermost parts of heaven yet. You see, God is a gracious God. And for those who want to come back to him, there is always the welcoming father of Luke 15. Welcome home. Welcome home. He will gather you. From there, he will take you. And the Lord will bring you back to that place of blessing, into the land where you can wake up each morning and you say, this is the right place to be. The ones your fathers possessed. You'll be possessing it again in verse 5. That you prosperous and more numerous than your fathers. Oh, what good news, isn't it? It's good news to know that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. The blessing that there is. Verse 6 then. What's verse 6 about? It talks about this circumcision thing. I think it's something along these lines as regards to verse 6. It says, you've returned because you want to change. Repentance has come in to your life because you want to change. You've faced up to reality and you want to change. Verse 6 is essentially God saying, you want to change? Then I'm in the business of changing you. I'm very happy to enter into the business of changing you. If you want to change so that you're going to live a life that's pleasing to me, I'm very happy to change you so you will live a life that's pleasing to me. It seems that how the passage is set up. And the Lord will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. Okay. Now what's this business about circumcision? What's it got to do with circumcising your heart? Well, what is circumcision? What is circumcision? Well, without going into the gory details, it's a cutting away of the flesh so that you are identifying yourself as someone belonging to God. That's what it basically, it's something you do outward to say, I belong to God. Now, Moses is saying here that God will give a circumcision of the heart, that's something that happens inside, which is a change inside, which will show that you belong to God. There's a lot of these, quite a lot of these programs on nowadays about makeovers. Is that right? You want a makeover. Your house is a bit of a mess. Yeah? So what do you want? I want a makeover. Yeah? Somebody say, well, I look a bit dowdy. I look a bit, well, I don't look very smart. And you can go to some fashion consultant or whatever and you get a makeover. Okay? Because you want to be changed. Okay? Well, that's essentially what happens when you repent. Okay? What do you want? You realize I've messed up. This is not how life is supposed to be. I'm in this sin. I'm in this mess. And it's all just vile. I want a makeover. And in a sense, circumcision of the heart is God's makeover. He's actually changing us inside. So that we would flow. What does it say in verse 6? That our lives would be of this ilk. That we would we will love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. You see, that's what the Christian wants. That's what repentance means. Repentance isn't just thinking about I've had a bit of mess up. I've lost some money. I'd really like to get back to getting some more money. It's or changing whatever other characteristic of our lives. It's to get right with God and flow for Him. Imagine going for the makeover and you go to somebody and you want the look. You know, I don't know what look you might say. We'll call it the Jane Smith look. Okay, you get the look. Well, in a sense, Christians, when we come with true repentance, God promises to circumcise our hearts so we will have the God look. Yeah? We will have the God look in our lives. And that will be everything working inside. And ultimately, now this gets a bit big, try and follow me here. Ultimately, for the nation of Israel addressed here, there'll come a day when the whole nation, still yet future, will experience this transformation as the Holy Spirit falls upon the nation and they go on into a new life. But we today can connect into that and we can know because Jesus has come and all that we celebrated in the Lord's Supper this morning through the Word of God being brought to us, that through Jesus having come and died and shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins, we can know the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So we come in repentance and we can know now God coming into our lives, circumcising our hearts to move forward. And even in that day in the past, there must be something to the nation of Israel there that even though they don't have the fullness that we have, they could have had some action in their heart to send them forward like an Abraham had when he believed God and counted to him for righteousness, and he could go forward from that stage. So all that's big. But we celebrate today that there can be a better life through Jesus Christ having died on the cross. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 33 talks about this fulfillment. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. And that's where we are today. Brothers and sisters, if we're knowing Christ, we want to go in the way with loving the Lord with all our heart and all our minds and all our souls. You want to be changed? God is in the business of changing people. And we don't have to bribe him with a bit of cash. He just loves repentant hearts. And he loves to change repentant people. We got that today? There's a way back to God. There's always a new start in God's purposes. Even if you manage to get somehow on some special package deal to the uttermost parts of heaven. And you repented. You can still be back. It's good news, isn't it? Verse 7 then. You've gone with the world and they've messed you up. That's generally the course of things, isn't it? People of Israel, generally they were attracted by the world around. And Zach talked about that this morning. That's what they wanted. want to go with the kings. Just go with the world. And Moses says here, the world's always going to come to a sticky end. The world is under judgment. The world is under the evil one. Don't go with the world. Children, youngsters, please, I've said this many times to you, the world is very attractive, very seductive. It gives you so many offers of very pleasant things, such as money, indulgence, of all kinds of ways. But in the end, it'll mess you up. Go in the way of God. Verse 7 tells us that they'll fall under the curses. The world will. The people of Israel are to do what? Verse 8. Shall again obey the voice of the Lord. Those who want to love the Lord the God with all their heart and all their mind and soul. They study their Bibles. Somebody was relating to me recently about somebody who preaches, and the only time they read their Bible is when they preach. There's something wrong there, isn't there? Are you reading your Bible so that you might know the Word of God, to hear the Word of God, so that you can live the Word of God? That is the way that we go, in the way of obedience, and things go in a good way. Children, younger ones, be asking, how can I read the Bible? Ask your parents, ask others in the church. I want to read the Bible. I want to know the voice of God. That's the big way. That's the gladness way that we thought about earlier. Verse 9 will tell us about the blessings again. The blessings. And they're all these physical blessings promised to the nation of Israel. And they were, as it were, living realities that they could see. God is blessing us. Now, you ask the question, well, should it be the same with us? And I'm saying, it's a bigger and better day today. Those, in a sense, were the days of adolescence. I don't think many of us want to go back to the days of adolescence. They were not easy days. We're glad to have gone on. And, you know, these were the days of adolescence in the ways of God, when everything wasn't fully mature yet. And so there were all these physical things. But now it's bigger. It's spiritual. It's eternal. The fullness of the Spirit has come in and through Jesus Christ having died on the cross. And so we celebrate eternal things, spiritual things. We're not wanting to go back to those days. And so we have the forgiveness of sins. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have relationship with God and His people. We're adopted into the family of God. We have a Savior who is looking after us in heaven. We have God who's working in us by the Spirit to produce fruit in our lives. We're accepted by God in Jesus Christ. We are part of God's eternal future, sealed by the Spirit. We have eternal promises ahead. We have life in all of its fullness. So let's go for the bigger things and celebrate those, because those who live in the light of God's way today have beautiful, beautiful blessings. Verse 10 then, it's about obedience. It's about obedience. A notice of obedience to what? It's obedience to the commands and statutes that are written in the book of the law. You go to a church, that's good. You move to another area to find a church. One big question to ask is, how important is the Word of God? Now you may think, why do Feltham Evangelical Church read the Word of God every week? Why are we going through the Old Testament and we sometimes don't get a lot from it? But one reason we do it is to declare to everybody that the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, is absolutely critical to our life as a church and as individuals. Okay? And we believe it's honouring to God when we read the Word of God. So you've got to have the Word of God, and you've got to have the turning to God. You turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And when you turn there, God, wanting the change, God meets with you. Now, let me. I just want to mention this to you. Now, perhaps it applies to you younger ones in particular. We're in a today issue here. We're going to think about that more. But I just want to mention to you, if you feel today, and some of you may feel, you know, that's all well and good, but it's not for me now. First thing I'd say is, please think about today as the day. But also, I have to accept that I'm not God, you've got dealings with God. But if there does come that day, is that day in the future you're wondering about where it's at, realize it's in the Word of God, and it's with returning to the Lord who is God and known through Jesus and Him alone. Please remember that. Right, we're going to our second section. What was the key word in the first section? It was change, and the key word was repentance. The second section is about opportunity, and the key word is grace. God's favour. Let's go into chapter 30, verses 11 to 14. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will descend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. Now it's exam season, and if you took me to a university and told me, Philip, you've got to sit one of the maths examinations, and what would I say? I'd look at it and say, I haven't a clue. It's all too complicated. You expect me to do that? Well, what's verses 11 to 14 telling us? God has not made it all too complicated for us. He's saying this commandment, you know, is not too hard for you. It's not too complicated. And it's not at a distance. It's not a long way off. And then it talks in verses 12 and 13 about being in heaven or being over the seas. But verse 14 says, the word of God is very near to you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart, so that you can do it. Hide and seek. Anybody played hide and seek recently? A little while ago since I played hide and seek. See a hand going up from Kai there. Anybody else played hide and seek recently? Well, God doesn't play hide and seek with us. God's not in the business of playing hide and seek. You know, He said He'll go somewhere and say, "Well, please come and find me." Or He doesn't play hard to get. You know, the lady who knows a man's interested in her, and she goes through some thing of testing whether he's interested or not, and she plays a kind of game with him. God's not like that. God's not playing hide and seek. God's not playing hard to get. And neither is he making, you know, these some religions, and they you've got to enter into some mysteries, some detailed knowledge of some things or other, and then you'll get to God. God's not in that business. God is a God of grace. His favor is shown. He's extending it. It's a day of salvation today. We've got the word of God here. The message is among us. And Romans would, Paul in Romans chapter 10. He would say, Jesus, by the word, has come among us. And he's quoting from this passage. He said, you don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go out in the seas. Jesus is here. He's here now. He's revealed in the word as the only Savior by the Spirit of God. And God is a God of grace, and he presents him to you. This is a day of choice. Nation of Israel, those days ago, today is the day of choice. Think about your ways. Felton Evangelical Church, you individually, you've been drifting on in life. Please stop and think, because God has brought things near. It's a day of opportunity for everybody, because God is a God of grace. His kindness, His favour. So the second key word is grace. It's about opportunity. Third section then, we're going to read from verses 16, verses 15 through to 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you will live, that you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. I almost feel there's nothing more to be said. Such powerful words, aren't they? It's a today event. Forgive me, I'm going to say a few more words. Verse 16, verse 15. I have set before you today life and death, good and evil. This is Moses. You can almost feel the energy that he's been in his being as he's been trying to convince them from chapter 27 to 30. You've got to think about this. You've got to face up to it today. And now he's coming to his final hit point. See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. Facing them with a choice. They've got to choose. And the key word here is urgency. It's urgent. But Moses wouldn't be content to say to them, you know, just give it a fortnight to think about it. He's saying, now's the time, everybody. Now's the time to face up to this whole issue. You know, sometimes, even when I preach here, there is a sense in which I just feel like going on. Just want to plead with you. Not to just drift on, but to make that decision, make that declaration with your own heart to others. I've got to have Jesus. I've got to be right with God. Because, well, let's hear the good news first. Verse 16, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, I command you today, loving the Lord, keeping his statutes, then you shall live and multiply. The Lord your God bless you in the land that you're entering to take possession of. It's basically going to go well. You know, the Christian can declare in the line of that great hymn, with all the turbulences of life and upsets of life, the fundamental thing, it is well. It is well with my soul. The way of obedience is the way of life. It's the way of blessing. It's the Jesus way. It's the way that we declare that we're on Jesus' side. We don't hang loose as regards to the Bible. We love to follow the ways of the Lord, to love one another, to live for the benefit of one another, to lay down our lives for one another, to hate immoral activities, to be pure with our lips. That's the blessed way. But let's get the bad news. Bad news, if you decide I don't want it. Oh, I trust this is not for anybody this morning. Let's get serious. Let's get real. Let's really think about it. I trust this is not anybody this morning who says, I want to turn away. Everything about our message this morning is the wonder and blessing about turning back, turning back. I want to be in his favor. And here's some people say, I don't want it. Just don't want it. I just want to worship my own stuff. Whether it's me, my relationships, my interests, my statues, some people do. Whatever it is, you've chosen that. And Moses says again, this: you shall not live long in the land that you're going over to the Jordan to enter and possess. Every blessing that was promised would be lost. So let's get final then. verses 19 to 20, as we're thinking about the choice. And it's as if Moses goes big. He just can't go any bigger. He gets heaven and earth involved. The whole universe is involved. The whole universe is involved today here as we're gathered. The whole universe comes. And here is the witness as they look on. It's against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live. It's as if Moses is saying now, you just can't go the other way. You just can't leave it. You just can't reject God's way. You just can't reject the gospel. You just can't. You just have to choose life. The consequences of anything else are so horrendous. Don't you know there's an eternal hell? An eternal suffering in the terrors and fires of the eternal pit under the judgment of God with Satan and his demons. Don't you know? So don't choose it. You've got to choose life. And life is in Jesus Christ. And the book of Deuteronomy, as it is paralleled in the New Testament, has always brought us to one who came into the world that we might have life and have it. How much? To the full. My fellow Christian, I speak to myself. The real life, the reason I'm not entering into that as I should is I'm just not as passionate to live for his word and live for my Lord. Because finally, verse 20, you are to be loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice. I've got to be hearing his voice every day. We're reading the word every day, brothers and sisters. We're hearing his voice. And that's just good, brothers and sisters, just to get with the word every day. Ask the Lord. I'm confessing my weaknesses here. I sometimes just get to reading the Bible and I'm not asking the Lord. Reveal yourself. I want to know you that I might love you. I go in your way and then I'm dwelling in the land. And that is always saying we're in the right place.
And you're going to be in the place promised to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all of those in church history, all of those who've gone the right way. We're bound in with them and we're celebrating the great purposes of God. Can I just make a note here? A little point as we're coming to conclusion. In verse 6 it talked about the offspring. And in verse 19 it says, therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live. I don't get fully the detail there, but one thing I do want to say to you parents is, it's a general principle of life that when the parents are wanting to go on for God, the children are bigly influenced to go in the way of God. And if you are indifferent to the way of God, you're influencing your children in a bad way as well. It's a general principle. You have a big impact upon others, and that extends to all the people we have influence over. But we need to go on. Our lives impact others. We need to be going on as a church, stirring each other to go on. And Moses would say at the end of all this, as we come, say, I'm spent now. I've given it all to you. And it's there. Don't neglect it. Choose life. Choose Christ. Choose the life which is the full life. And it's not fake news. This is the truth. Belton Evangelical Church, all of us individually, June 23rd, 2019. Today, we stand in the presence of God. Will we? Will we? We must choose life. Got any concerns about that? It's done now. We're finished with Deuteronomy up to chapter 30. The rest is different now. We've got here. It's been hard. We're leaving it. And the message will be different from now on.